Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. So are you ready for it? I guess I have to show my training and thank God for the people who are here today and pastor in their absence. We just continue to lift them up, pray for them. I know that even as God is moving here, he's moving there in Israel, showing them great and mighty things, speaking to them corporately and individually, just like God here. No distance in the spirit. No distance in the spirit. So if you could just realize and understand that you come here not to hear me, but you come here to have an experience, to meet with God, and for God to speak to you and to move in you, to instruct you, to uncover for you, to unveil for you, to talk to you, so that when you leave this place, there's an assurance in your soul that if God be for me, who can be against me? That when you walk out those doors, it doesn't matter what rises up, doesn't matter who rises up, doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter what they don't say, doesn't matter what they do, doesn't matter what they do, don't do. God. So that's why I'm asking you, are you ready for the big Spirit of the living God? Now do what only you can do. Not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit. God, we're forgetting those things that are behind us. And we're pressing and we're reaching for the things that are ahead of us. Move in this spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. To move forward, you got to stop looking back. To move forward, there's a press. There's always resistance. Always resistance. Even, you know, when you're building muscle, there has to be resistance in order for strength to develop. The same thing in God. In order to move forward, you are going to meet resistance. That's why Paul said, I press. I press. But he's pressing with something in view. He's pressing with something in mind. He said, I press towards the mark. God's got a mark for you. God's got a level for you. God's got something that he needs for you to obtain. So that's why I'm asking you tonight, this morning, are you ready for the big? Yes. Pastor Staten talked about living life. Don't be contained anymore. Don't live small. If you're not going to be contained, you are going to have to break out. Amen. You have to break out. You got to break out of small thinking. You've got to break out of small living. You got to break out. You have to get ready for God to release on the inside of you how big he is and how big he wants. Some of you don't realize how big God is in you. And the way you live your life is proof that you don't understand the bigness of God on the inside of you. Because if you understood how big your God was, you would break the shackles. You would not be hijacked and harassed and bound by the enemy. You would no longer be bound by the word no. No, you cannot have that home or that vehicle because your credit isn't good enough. No, you can't go to that college because you don't have the grades. No, you can't. You're just going to have to deal with that because there's no medical help for that prognosis. So we become accustomed to hearing no. And then no forms the way we live. And no forms the way we live and how we live our lives and how we behave and our attitudes, because we've been conditioned to live our lives by the word no. And so when we hear no, we become paralyzed by fear because of what no might mean. So no becomes so powerful in our lives that we begin to think small and live small with a big God living on the inside of us. No. So now we're hindered, now we're bound, now we're shackled. But I'm trying to tell you that there is a level of manifestation and breakthrough. Yeah. that God has for you, that the Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for them, but by his Spirit. You don't even know how big God is in you. You haven't even touched how big God wants to live through you. You haven't even grasped the bigness of what he wants to do for you. And so I'll keep saying it and reiterating it through the whole message. Are you ready for the big? No. No, you can't go to that college because you don't have the education for it. No, you can't have that job because you don't have the qualifications for it. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. No, you can't go here. No, you can't go there. No. And so we live our lives by the power of no. And Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. How big can you think this morning? How big can you ask this morning? How big can you plan? And what I want to tell you is God can do bigger and God can do better. Amen. But it's according to the power that's working in you. Amen. Are you ready for the big? Are you ready for your borders to be expanded? Are you ready to be stretched? Are you ready for your territories to be enlarged? Are you ready to grow exponentially in God? Are you ready? Are you ready? Or have you become so comfortable living small and thinking small and being small and doing small that you come to church and we have to pump you to praise a big living God? You come in dejected and down and worn and defeated and betrayed and rejected. And when the presence of God, the one who spoke, a big God who told us, don't be contained. We're not ready for the big. Because it's our body language, it's our behavior, it's our attitude, because no has broken us down. And we've become a slave to it, and we're enslaved to it. And when we hear it, we shrivel, and we become fearful, and we become paralyzed because no has spoken. But my Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 2 and 20, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Come on now, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes, by my stripes you are healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Yes, I meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Yes, he will meet your need. Yes, I can do exceeding and abundantly above all you can ask or think. Yes, you are blessed going in and going out. Blessed, you are blessed in the city and in the field. Yes, your storehouses are filled and overflowing. Yes, the enemy may come at you one way. And yes, they will flee from you seven different ways. Yes. But we're not accustomed to yes. And we have to become accustomed to yes. If you want to live big, you're going to have to become accustomed to yes. You're going to have to get unstuck this morning, because some of you are stuck in the prison of no. You're stuck in the prison and the shackle. You've been hijacked by a lying devil. Yes, you can have that business that God told you could have. Yes, you can write that book that God told you to write. Yes. You can have that family God told you you could have. Yes, you can move in the ministry God's called you to do. Yes, you can write that song God's put on your heart. Yes. You have got to stop being shackled by no. No. It's just a two-letter word, but the power it welds over the lives of God's people. You got to get unstuck this morning. You got to rise up. 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 God, I'm moving forward. At this moment, what a moment you've brought me to. What a moment. God, you're making all things new. Forgetting those things behind me, I press. You can only press if you're moving forward. You get unbalanced if you try to press moving backwards. It throws you off balance. You can't see where you're going if you're trying to press moving backwards. Why are you attached to what's in your past? What has your past done to you? Even your successes, as big as they were, as grand as they were, as good as they are, God has better. God doesn't live in the past. He's in the right now trying to get you to move. He's got a plan for you. Jeremiah 29, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not evil. Plans to give you an expected end. God's got a good story for you. He's written a great plan for your life. There's a great blueprint for you. But do you want to move in it? Or are you so stuck and paralyzed where you're at that fear keeps you from moving forward? What has no told you you can't do? What has no told you where you can't go? What has no told you? Why is the voice of no louder and stronger in your heart than the one who said, yes, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Amen. You got to get a yes in your spirit. You got to get a yes in your spirit. You got to get a yes in your walk. You got to get a yes. That's why I told you earlier, you are the prophet of your own future. It's got to come from your mouth. Last week, Pastor was talking about choosing this day, life or death, blessings or curses. Choose. And it said that you and your seed may live. Your yes or your no affects your seed. Your yes and your no will affect your seed. Your seed will become accustomed to you being hijacked by no. Your seed will become accustomed to watching you live small. Your seed will become accustomed to you living in defeat. Your seed will become accustomed to you falling before the face of God and saying, God, make a way. God, I don't see a way, but I know you've made a way. Your seed will become accustomed to you saying, not by might nor by power, but God, it's by your spirit. Your seed will become accustomed to you when the doctor says no go, when the doctor puts a time limit on your lifespan. Your seed will become accustomed to says that God lives. God prolongs the days of my life. God determines, not man. Your seed will watch the walk and the talk that you live. But you've got to start now where you're at, living big, living small, living big, living small, doing big, doing small, being challenged. No comes. That's no lie. No will come. But what will you do when no arises? Is the word of God more powerful in your life? Are you ready? Are you really, really ready for big to be released on the inside of you? Are you really, really ready to live the big life that God's called you to? Or are you flying on an emotion and then when you walk out of here, you get slapped with no again and you're moving backwards again? You had just sung about what a moment. You've just talked about moving forward. You just talked about God opening. If God were to open the heavens and pour out, you said the floodgates of heaven. You said God opened the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Do you have capacity for the flood? Do you have the capacity for the flood? The manifestation and the level of breakthrough that God has for you, I believe, is in direct correlation to the level of resistance that you've been experiencing. The level of your breakthrough and the level of your manifestation is in direct correlation to the level of resistance you've been experiencing. If God's giving you a word, and I know he has, there's not a person in here under the sound of my voice here God has not spoke a word to. There's not a word, there's not a person in here. Now, what you've done with that word is a different thing, but that word is here. That word is hovering over your life. That word is here. And the minute that word was released, resistance came. It came. Because it's the enemy's job to steal, kill, and destroy. And for some of us, he doesn't have to do much to do it because we've already been conditioned to know. So when we hear a word from God, we're like, ugh, probably not. And we'll be like Gideon, and we'll start talking about why it can't happen to us. I'm the least one, Lord, not me. I'm not talented enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not anointed enough. I'm not smart enough. God, you must be talking to someone else. But no, he's talking to you. God is talking to you. And so that resistance is that the enemy is not so much you, but the word. He's not so much resisting you, but he's resisting, putting that resistance for that word. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, it talks about you stand still and see this great thing that God is about to do. With your own eyes, you are going to witness the big in your life if you will prepare yourself for it. If you are ready for God to release the big on the inside of you, so when you talk about big and large, something of importance and significant, do you think God has something big and significant for your life? Where you're at right now, even if you've been paralyzed, shackled, and bound and harassed by no, do you believe right now at this point, at this moment, that God has big for you? Even if you're not experiencing it, do you believe that you can witness with your own eyes and see a big God do big things in your life?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Bring it on, God. Bring it on. But we have to expand. Our capacity has to expand. It needs to grow. It needs to enlarge. God needs to get us out of our comfort zone. God needs to move us out of our complacency. God needs to move us out of our fear and our paralysis. But once he gets you to the place that you're moving forward and you know you've got a word from God, I'm telling you what, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it begun to enter into your heart what God has planned for you. You got to be ready for it. You got to be ready for it. You got to position yourself for it. So you have to assign big. You got to assign big to your household. You got to assign big to your finances. You got to assign big to your dreams. You got to assign big to your destiny. You got to assign big to your job. You got to assign big to your body. You've got to give big an assignment.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I keep telling you, you're the prophet of your own future. You got to give it an assignment. You got to send the word. That's why I say there's no distance in the spirit. The Bible says he sent the word of healing. He sent it. And they were healed. You can send, you can assign big to your circumstances. Yes. God, live big in my house. God, live big in my family. God, live big in my children. God, live big on my job. God, live big in my music. God, live big in my talent. God, live big. You have to assign big a job. You got to assign big a responsibility. You got to give it something to do. Because the word is hovering. The word is alive. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and full of power. It is active. It is operative. It is effective. It is energized. When God speaks, it's not some old, dried up, dead, archaic word. God's word is alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's God breathed. It's alive. And when God gives you a word, it's alive. And when God gives you a word, there's power and there's manifestation attached to that word. But power and manifestation does not get released until it hits good ground. Good ground. You take a seed out of the package and you lay it there on the counter and it will do nothing. Even though that seed has power and manifestation living on the inside of it. It's not until you take that seed, you plant it in fertile, good ground, that that seed begins to do what's in its DNA. God's word already knows what it's supposed to do. You don't have to give it any instructions. You don't have to tell it what to do. All you got to do is give it an assignment. God, send the word to your house. Send the word to your body. Send the word to those messed up kids. Send the word. You just got to send the word. You got to give it an assignment. You got to tell it what to do. And then you stand back and see this great thing that God is about to do. When God speaks, you got to know, according to Psalms 119, that your word, oh God, is forever settled in heaven. Settled. Settled. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's settled. God's word is settled. Isaiah 55, God says, so shall my word be that proceeds out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it will prosper where I've sent it. See, assignment. God's word has assignment attached to it. And it will accomplish it. But what he said, out of my mouth. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. God says, my word doesn't come back to me empty. My word does not come back to me empty. My word does not come back to me empty, void, and unfruitful. Amen. God said, it's not my word. We're living proof of it every day. God said, let there be light. And from that day until now, this universe is expanding. There's more outer space than they'll ever discover. God's not getting up every morning thinking, light, turn on. Light, turn off. No, God spoke once. And he spoke forever. And it was settled. And you've got to let the word that God has spoken in your heart be settled. It's got to be settled on the inside of you. God's not a man. He's not a man that he should lie. He said, if I've said it, will I not do it? If I've said it, will I not make it come to pass? God said, that's just how I am. If I said it, I'm going to do it. But I need you to be that ground. I need your ground to be fertile. I need your soil to be fertile. You need to water. You need to water, to water, to water. The word is like water. The word is water.
Yes, it is.
And you got to give it good ground. The word already knows what it needs to do. It's given an assignment.
Thank you.
Jeremiah 1:12. God watches over his word to perform it. Do you understand that there's a word hovering over your life right now that God is watching to perform?
Thank you, Jesus.
That he's waiting to perform? That he's waiting to bring to pass? That he's desiring for you to understand that there's big in you? That he wants to release the big on you, in you, and that there's a word on the inside that he's watching over, that he wants you to attach yourself to, that he wants you to embrace, to wants you to understand, there's big on the inside of me. There's big on the inside of me. And God is just waiting for you to get to the place that you understand there's word, there's something on the inside. What has God got on inside of you that he's waiting to perform? What's on the inside of you that God is waiting to perform? The Bible says he's watching. He's watching. He's watching. He's watching. There's a word over your life. There's a word on the inside of you. There's a word in you. There's a word for you. God's watching over to perform it.
Thank you, Jesus.
But there's that word no again. God, it's been so long. No, I don't think it's going to happen. God, I keep tired of people telling me no. No, I know, but I just get tired of being told no. I get tired of being told no. I get tired of being told no. I get tired of being told no. And it pushes you down and it pushes you down and it pushes you down until you don't even fight anymore for the yes and amen in God. You've got to rise up on the inside and say, God, if God be for me, who can be against me? They'll rise up. We can't stop them from rising up. They'll rise up, but they cannot prosper. And they cannot prosper because you stand in your place, in your position as a child of God, who's got a big God living on the inside of you, who's doing big things on the inside of you, who's got a word hovering over you that he is watching and waiting to perform. So what if they tell you no? So what if they tell you no? If you've got a yes in your spirit, if you've got a yes from God, then you move forward. If you've got a yes in your spirit, if you've got a yes from God and you know it's God, then you move forward. But are you ready for the big? I told you, you're big. The word that God speaks over you, it has power and it has manifestation attached to the inside of it. And when that word comes, a decision, a defining moment has to be made. Am I going to receive the word, or is it going to be just another word? Are you going to receive the word as God breathed, as God spoken, or is it just another sermon, just another message, something I do on Sundays to fulfill an obligation, and then when I leave here, I will tell no, I'm back on the job? Or will you hear a word from God and you walk out those doors, you've got a new attitude, and when no rises up, you've got a yes on the inside of you? You got to get unstuck. We become so familiar with being stuck. We become so familiar with it that we don't even realize we're stuck. And when somebody tells us we're stuck, we get offended at them telling us we're stuck. Because you don't want to be challenged in your faith. You don't want me to challenge you and tell you, you guys already know I am not the feel-good preacher. You guys already know that. I'm not the one that coddles you. I'm not the one that says, there, it'll be okay. I am not the one. You already know that. I'm going to tell you, done cried long enough. You done wallowed long enough. Now get yourself together, get up, and let's get moving. That's just who I am. That's who I am. And you, oh, you're so harsh, you don't understand. You don't judge me. I want you to get up. I want you to get unstuck. I want you to move in what God has for you. God needs you to live big in this world. God needs you to be a light. God needs you to be a trophy of his goodness. God needs you to be a trophy, an example of how good he is. God doesn't need you to be acting and behaving just like the people who don't know him. He doesn't need that. He needs you to stand up and be a light in a dark world. If you don't know it, the world is getting darker and darker. If you don't know it, the world is bound. They're shackled by their fears. They're shackled by their ignorance. They're shackled because they're powerless. They're shackled by their intellect. They're shackled by other people's opinions. And then you come along, child of God, light of the world, and you're stuck too. It shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. But I got a word for you. God wants you to live big. He wants you to live big. And I'll ask you again, are you ready for the big? Now, just so you guys don't tell Pastor Brandon, I didn't give you a scripture. She just talked and she never gave us a scripture. If you know it, I've been talking scripture The whole time. The whole time. But just for the rest of you, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Just for the rest of you, we'll turn to Luke chapter 1. Now, sometimes I think Luke chapter 1 gets a bad rap, in my personal opinion, because the only time we really read it is during the holidays, Christmas time. Then we read Luke chapter 1. Everybody reads Luke chapter 1. But it's more than a Christmas story. It's more than a Christmas story. And so when we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 26, and we're going to read through 38, and we're going to read about a young, unassuming, supposedly insignificant young girl named Mary, who is about to have big spoken in her life and released in her life. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having appeared to her, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this." Now, I would like to think that if an angel of the Lord came and appeared to me and started talking, "You are highly favored of the Lord. God's about to kiss you from heaven. God's about to do big things in your life," that I could be like Mary. Because even though she was troubled at his saying, she wasn't like Zechariah, if you read early in this scripture, said he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But it doesn't say this about Mary. It says, if you read it in the Amplified, that verse, it says that she was troubled, she was confused, and she was disturbed at the greeting. At the greeting. It was going around in her head. What? Highly favored. What? Woman of God. What? What? But not fearful. Not fearful. Not fearful. When big is being spoken in your life, you cannot get into fear. Because fear will cause you to respond in a way that negates what God would want to do for you. It will also maybe cause you not to experience it at the level God wants you to experience it. Verse 32, he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign. Do you hear big being taught? God's just saying, this is the Son of God. He's going to reign. He's going to rule. God don't talk small talk. And I know that's not great English, but he don't talk small talk. God does not have the gift of gab. He doesn't talk to hear himself speak. When God's talking and speaking, he's saying something. And you ought to be listening. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Now I have to appreciate Mary. Because after all that, she asked one word. How's that going to happen? Now again, it wasn't like Zechariah, because if you go back and read earlier in the chapter, Zechariah said the same thing. But remember, he fell into fear. How is that going to happen? I'm old and my wife is old too. Don't see that happening. So the angel said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I came to you with good tidings. And because of your unbelief," when a word comes from you, you got to know that it's come directly from heaven. You got to understand when the message comes, it's a direct message from heaven. Go back. Abel said, no, because of your unbelief, I'm shutting you up. You don't have nothing to say no more until that baby is born. Can you imagine being well advanced in age and wanting a child and wanting a child. And then finally the messenger comes and says, God's smiling on you. You get that child. What? No. If you didn't know, some decades have gone by since we've been praying that prayer. My wife is old. I'm old. We're tired. We're not doing kids no more. And Gabriel said, shut him up. Can you imagine not being able to express the excitement, the joy that God came through for you? That he shut him up. And for 9 months, he couldn't say a word about what God was doing in his life. Have you been shut up because of your unbelief? Because of what no told you? Have you been shut up and shut down? Can you not experience to the level that God wants you to, what he has for you, because you didn't respond correctly? That you weren't positioned to hear when God came? Because these people are just going about their everyday lives, doing their own business. And God shows up. See, you don't know when God is going to show up. And when he shows up, we got to be ready. We got to be positioned. So when he speaks big, because remember, when God comes, he's going to speak big. He's just not speaking little stuff. When he comes, he's going to speak big. Yeah. Is he going to find you positioned and prepared to hear big? Or he's going to find you giving him excuses why it's now too late? Why it can't come to pass? How are you positioned right now to hear the big of God in your life? Yeah. What position are you at right now at this moment, like this moment? How have you positioned for God to come in? Because if you haven't experienced it yet, you will. God will interrupt your life. God will upset your plans. God will move in and make an announcement, a pronouncement unto you. And this is not because you're already moving in a different direction. And God will put a stop sign in your path and give you another option. Not going to force you. He's not going to bulldog you into anything, but he will give you an opportunity. He will give you an opportunity. God's a gentleman. He's not going to force anything, not even his good plan for your life. He will not force it on you. He will not make you let him be good to you. He will not make you. He will not make you. Back to Mary. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be done since I don't know a man? So let's move out of our Western thinking for a minute. Let's move out of our 21st century thinking for a moment. And let's go back the best we can. Because it's kind of hard to understand this, because we always read this through a Western mindset and through a 21st way of thinking. I'm going to have a baby. What? I don't have a man. He's going to be God. What? I'm going to give birth to God? Now that will blow all of your minds. I don't care how spiritual you are, how anointed you are, that would blow your mind. But Mary, this thing she asks, I don't know a man. How is this going to happen? What she was asking, God, okay, how can I participate? When God speaks big in your life, the only question you need to be asking is, how can I participate? What part do I have in this? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? God, how can I participate? You don't need man. You don't need resources. All you need to know is, how can I participate? And once you move yourself into a surrendered position, once big is spoken, then God can start downloading to you. God can start moving you. God can give you direction. God can give you instruction. But until you move from this place of living your life, doing what you want to do, living how you want to live, being small, thinking small, doing small, being paralyzed by fear, let no have its way in your life. Let no tell you where to go, what you can do. Letting people say no, your fear and trembling. Until you move to the surrendered of yes. And it's a leap. It's a leap. I'm not going to play with you. It's a leap. It's not the, hey, the will of God is not all mountaintop experiences. There's some valleys. There's some dips. There's some curves in the road. He He doesn't tell you that, though. All he wants to tell you, because, you know, he sees the end from the beginning. So when God speaks, he's talking about the end. He's not talking about all this stuff in the middle. Doesn't concern him because he's already seen the end from the beginning. He already knows his plan is to give you an expected end. He already knows he's got victory in whatever circumstance or disturbance comes up. He already knows he's made a way for you. He's already know the opposition is bound and defeated. He already knows all this stuff that happens in the middle. So he doesn't worry about talking to you about it. He speaks the end from the beginning. So he tells Mary, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be God. He's going to be the Most High. The kingdom is going to be in the show. He's talking all this. And Mary's, okay, how can I participate? That's a bold girl. She's young. Unassuming. You know what? All Mary is thinking about, I've got a man. I'm daydreaming about being Joseph's wife. Daydreaming about everyday stuff. Daydreaming about having her own home. Daydreaming about just living. She has not once thought, I'd like to give birth to the Son of God one day. I can guarantee you it never crossed her mind. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had big spoken in her life and big released in her life through the simple words of, how can I participate? You got to get in agreement with God. Got to get in agreement with his plan for your life. You have to be willing to set aside your plans and your agenda of what you have planned to do with your life. You got to lay it down. You got to lay it at his feet. You got to surrender it. Not easy, but you got to surrender it. Because often we're moving along and we think we're doing all right, not even realize we're derailed. You don't even realize you're off track. That's right. You don't even realize you're going in the wrong direction. You don't even realize you've lost focus until somebody gets in your face and challenges you. That's right. Are you ready for the big? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Have you rose up? And then what? Resistance? What? I'm doing... What? No. Don't judge me. We're so quick. We don't want nobody to instruct us. Nobody to challenge us. In our derailment. We want to be derailed. We want to go our own way. Right? Because this is what we know. This is what we're accustomed to. This is what we've embraced. This is my life. This is my lot. This is just me doing me. Deal with it. No, I don't want to deal with it. How's that for no? How's that for no? Again, sorry, not the feel-good, touchy-coddle preacher. Sorry. Sorry. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to do it on your own. You've got a comforter. You've got a helper. He's been called alongside of you to help you, to walk you through this plan of God for your life. He's there to strengthen you. He's there. God is, Jesus, he got sent back to earth just for you and me, to walk alongside us. Because he knew no would rise up. He knew no would rise up. He knew no would rise up, and he needs to be there. Because in John 16, it talks about he speaks to you things that he's heard about you. See, there's conversations going on about you in heaven right now. John 16 says he comes back and he reveals, he discloses, transmits to you the things that he's heard. Well, he's not hearing them here in the earth. And most of all, he's not hearing them from your enemies. And maybe even some of your loved ones who don't want to see you succeed in God. So where is he? He said there's conversation in heaven going on about you right now. And so he comes alongside you. And he walks with you and he talks with you. And he begins to reveal and to open and declare and to unveil some things for you to see more clearly. And he begins to speak things like, write that book. He begins to say things to you like, write that song. Don't tell me how you don't have the experience. Write that song. You start hearing a melody in your heart. You start hearing lyrics. You're seeing lyrics. You're hearing, I don't know music, obviously, right? I don't know if you see lyrics or hear them, but there they are. It doesn't matter, though, because the Holy Ghost will tell you. Gives you business ideas. And you say, God, that's already been done. But he's like, not like it needs to be done. See, you're already looking at what already is. And God's like, no. I'm telling you, do it this way. Walk it out this way. Make this little change. Do it this way. And I'm telling you, it will blow up. But don't look at what's already done. Don't look at what's already being done. Look at what God is telling you to do. There's instructions. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. The Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. That it overpowers that shout. He doesn't take over. But he's partnership. Partnership. And if we'll just follow him, I'm telling you, I believe that God's got such breakthrough and manifestation for you right now. If you would just realize the big has been spoken, now the big must be performed. The big has been spoken, now the big must be fulfilled. Big has to be fulfilled. Big has to come to pass. Big must be fulfilled. It has to. It has to. Big has to be fulfilled. God's word has to come to pass in your life, in my life. It has to come to pass. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, who also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, past tense, was called barren. God's got a lot of past tense for you. Was broke, now you're out of debt. Was sick, and now you're healed. Was broken, and now you're restored. Was confused, but now you're full of joy. Was lost and now you're found. See, God's got a future to speak to you. She was barren. She was empty. She was unfruitful. She was non-productive. Not anymore. That's not her story. That's not her end game. She was, but now she is. She is. She is. For with God, nothing will be impossible. It doesn't matter how far-reaching, how it tilts your brain when God speaks to you. It's not impossible. It doesn't matter how it goes around and around in your head. What matters is that with God, it's possible. No impossibilities in God. You don't even know where God wants to take your business right now. You don't even know. You don't even know the doors, the people he has waiting for you to step out in his yes. You don't know who he's already positioned to come alongside you, to give you the help that you need, to shore up where you are lacking. You don't even know. And you won't know until you step into his yes. You won't know until you say what Mary said in verse 20 and 38. Here I am, Lord. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be unto me. Be it unto me. Are you bold enough to tell God, be it unto me? Be it unto me as you've spoken. This little girl was bold. Because I'm telling you what, back then, in that age, unwed mother, death sign right on her. Just off the bat. We don't want to hear about what God told you. Don't talk to us about no angels. You're dead. It was the law. It was the law. Yet, in spite of that, She knew. Mary knew the law. She knew. As soon as she turned up pregnant with no husband, they were coming after her. She knew that her life as she had planned it was over. That it was no longer ever going to look like how it looked before. She knew she was going to become the talk and the ridicule of the people in the village. She knew. Oh, yeah, she was talking all big and bad when she got Joseph. Now she got a baby and it ain't Joseph. Now what she got to say? Uh-huh. Can you imagine the disappointment and the anger in her parents' eyes when she had to go to them and tell them? This is Mary, little unassuming girl. Just one day, God came into her life and just upset her plans, disrupted her, got her moving in a course that she knew it didn't look good for her. Yet she said, "Be it unto me. Be it unto me." Can you say that without having all the details in your life? Can you surrender? Can you trust God that much? Even if you've got an inkling to the backlash of obeying God, even if you've got a smidgen, a hint of what could happen if you say to the yes to the plan for God for your life. Can you, can I, can we say, according to you, Lord God, according to your word, let it be done. Can't speak for you. I have to ask you again, are you ready for the big? Can you tell God, "Be it unto me according to your word"? Joseph, what about Joseph? Can you imagine her going to him with that tall tale? But I got to give my props to Joseph. He's another one I got to tip my hat to. Men, let me give you some advice. Let me give you just a piece of, from a woman's stand of view. There is nothing like a man that can hear from God. As a woman, there is nothing like a man that can hear from God, who's not afraid to get before God and get some answers. I'm telling you, speaking from the stand of a woman, you want a man that can hear from God. You want a man that in hard times and challenging times can get in the face of God and get an answer. Free for you guys. All the ladies said, amen. I'm telling you what, it's attractive. If you can't hear for God, I might not be able to follow you nowhere because you can't hear. Just saying, because we both might end up in the ditch. See, I give you a little levity right now because I know it's been kind of, what's she talking about? The plan of God saying yes, surrendering. I'm shackled and bound by no. He'll give you a little levity there. But Joseph, like that song says, what a man, what a man. What a mighty good man. Telling you what? These ladies know what I'm talking about. You want a man that can hear from God. And then not only hear from him, do what he tells you to do, men. Do what he tells you to do. Be bold, be brave, be courageous. Do what God tells you to do.
Thank you, Lord.
He put her on that donkey and got her out of town. Honey, this is what God is saying. We got to go and go quick. Mary took her little pregnant self, got on that donkey and got out of town because they were after him. Just saying, want a man that can hear from God. But the process, oh my gosh, the process. You got to endure the process. The process doesn't always feel good. When you're living the big of God in your life, when you're wanting God to move big, the process isn't always good. There's challenges. Like I told you earlier, it's not all mountaintop experiences. You've got to be able to endure the process for big to be released in your life. Just like Mary, she had to go through the process of all these things that could or might happen to her. But she had a word. He was going to be born. He was going to be the Son of God. He was going to be called the Most High. She had a word. God didn't even deal with all the other stuff in the middle. See, we deal with the stuff in the middle. Because that's what's real to us. That's what we're experiencing. That's what we're going through. So the stuff is bigger and more real to us than the expected end. We spend more time on the stuff than the end product of what God has spoken into your life. And then you get all tied up, tangled up, derailed, going this way, looking to that person, hearing from this person, and you're confused. You know, no longer understand what God said. Get back to what God told you to do. Get back to what he told you to do. Well, he's not saying anything. Yeah, he said something. Now you need to go back to it because he's not going to talk no more. So you get back to that thing he told you to do. And then if you want more instruction to come, more instruction will come. But it's not coming till you get back. Get back to this place where you first received your instructions. Because somewhere along the line, you've gotten off track. You've gotten derailed. You've lost your focus. And you're trying to hear from God and hear from God and hear from God. And he's not saying anything. He said something. Be obedient to the word that he gave you. Be obedient to that one word that he gave you. There are pit experiences. There are prison experiences in saying yes to God. You can't pray away the pit experiences. You can't pray away your prison experiences. But in the pit, in the prison, God is with you. Ask Joseph. God prospered him. God favored him, even in his pit and palaces or pit and prison experiences. Can you and I endure the process of saying yes to the big of God in our lives? Can you endure persecution? Can you go through people not understanding? Because God didn't say it to them. He said it to you. Stop apologizing for what God is doing in your life. Stop trying to explain to everybody so everybody will understand you. Everybody is not going to understand you. Stop looking for man to affirm you. Stop looking to man to affirm you. Stop looking to man to affirm you. Stop looking to man to affirm you. Man will never affirm you because he does not understand what God is doing in your life. Because God speaks to the spirit, not talking to your head. He's not talking to your head. He's not talking to your head. He's talking to your spirit. And you are led by the spirit, not by your head, not by your flesh, not by your emotions, not what other people think, not what other people are doing. So why are you caring about what they're saying? Don't be led. Can you endure persecution? You have to rest. You have to rest in your relationship with God. You rest in what you know about his character. You rest in knowing that he's faithful. You rest in knowing that he's completely and utterly trustworthy. You rest in the fact that he's good. He is good and he does good. Every time, every day, every moment, God is good. And you rest in that. And so when God speaks big in your life and it makes your brain tilt and you've got to step out what you think is into nothingness, he's right there. Faithful God. Faithful God. And you need to rest in that. You need to rest in your relationship with him. You need to rest. You need to feed on God's faithfulness. You need to feed on his goodness. You need to know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You need to know that he's got you in the palm of his hand. The same God that knows the number of hairs on your head, whether you shaved them off or whether they fell off, God knows. He knows. God is personal. He's not this far off being. God is personal. And he's there to walk it out with you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you. He said when he sent the Holy Spirit, he says, I'm not going to abandon you as one would do an orphan. He says, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm not going to leave you abandoned, rejected. No, I'm sending someone who's going to come right alongside you and walk this thing out with you. Because that's just how he is. But you need to rest in him. You need to learn to be still. No matter the chaos and the disturbances that are going on the outside of you, whatever is going on, even right now, whatever is going on, there needs to be a stillness and a quietness on the inside of you. And some of you may say, oh, God's not saying anything. God hasn't showed me anything. Have you gotten quiet? Have you gotten still? How many know God has said something big in their lives, even if you're not experiencing it yet? If you'll just, okay. And some of you are like, I don't know. I don't know if he's saying anything. Let me assure you that he is. And let me assure you how it will come to you. You understand when they're about to release a movie, they send out trailers. 60 seconds, 90 second trailer, kind of giving you the highlights of what this is going to be about. God does the same thing to us. He gives you glimpse, gives you a peek. He's got a trailer running on the inside of you. You haven't diagnosed, oh, that's what that is. It's a trailer. It's a preview of things to come. And why do they give you that movie trailer? Because they want to entice you. They want to pull you in. They want to convince you, you got to go see this movie. You need to go pay your $20 and go see this movie. But they send that trailer out to pull you in. God does the same thing. He gives us glimpses and peeks and highlights. A glance into what he's about to do in our lives. See, you didn't make the connection, but I'm telling you, that's the connection. You're wondering what that is? This is just God giving you a preview of things to come. Coming attractions. Coming soon to a theater near you. Coming to your life. All of us have coming attractions coming to our lives. You going to pay the price? You'll pay the $20 to see the movie. Will you pay the price for what God has for you to come to pass? And you know you'll pay that money, you'll get the popcorn, you'll get the something to drink, some bonbons, some Mr. Reds or whatever they're called, and you'll pay. And by the time you sit down, you spent $25 and you haven't seen anything. You don't even know if you're going to like the movie. You just saw the previews. And sometimes the previews was the best part of the movie. And you leave mad because I spent my money and I spent my time. But I'm telling you what, whatever time you spend with God, it will be worth it. Amen. There will be no disappointments. No disappointments. Skip down to verse 25 or 45. Blessed is she. This is Elizabeth talking to Mary, because once Mary found out about Elizabeth, she ran to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, when she heard her voice, her salutation, the Bible says she was filled with the Spirit, said the baby in her womb leaped. And she said to Mary, she goes on to continue. Now Elizabeth is talking big over Mary, talking about how she's favored and how what all God's going to do for her. And then in verse 45, it says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things that were told to her from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance. I said all of that to say this.
Amen.
There shall be a performance. There will be a fulfillment. There will be a fulfillment. There will be a fulfillment.
Yes, Jesus.
There will be a fulfillment.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. And can I just tell you this? Here's what happens. When people see God doing big stuff in people's lives, It's hard to celebrate because it's not happening in your life. And so I can't celebrate you because it's not happening for me. Because I asked for the same thing and God's not doing it for me. And I'm just as spiritual as you and I pray just as hard as you and I have just as much as faith as you. How come God ain't doing it for me? So now all of a sudden I've got envy and strife and I'm in competition with the big of God in you. Not knowing that big is already in my life. Not understanding big is already in my life. Big is already in my life. So I can't affirm you. I can't celebrate you, Kathy. I can't because I'm so used to hearing no, 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 no. And when I see yes happening, I got attitude. I got attitude. So I can't come up to you and in genuineness and sincerity and say, thank God. Thank God. I know you've been standing. I know you were standing. I know you've been believing. Thank God, God is moving. I can't say it because of what's in my own heart. The lack of understanding what's going on in my own heart. See, here's the thing. Mary had her Jesus. But Elizabeth had her John. when Mary came to Elizabeth, they were both rejoicing because, hey, I got mine too. I got mine too. I got mine too. Mary had her Jesus. So when she came talking, Elizabeth was able to prophesy to her, to lift her up, to build her up because she had her John. Girl, go on, go on, move forward. Go, God, I got mine too. You got yours too. You got yours too. Amen. So now I can celebrate with you. I can affirm you. We can be, you do big, I do big. We're all doing big for God. I'm not in competition with you no longer. I got mine. Do you have yours? I got mine. 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 I'm moving forward. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Do you have yours? Do you got yours? No bad English, but do you got it? Do you got yours? I love what I said. Man, Mary had her Jesus, but Elizabeth had her John. No competition. Both getting what? No competition. I don't have to be concerned about what God. I'm at rest. I'm at whatever God is doing for you. Praise God. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. I don't have time to be pulled down by people who don't know. They ain't got it. I don't have time to be shackled by people who don't know. They got it. You got it. You got it. You sing about it all the time. I got it. I got it. You got it. Now what you gonna do with it? Come on, what you gonna do with it now? God's good. He wants to live big. He wants to do big. If you got it, then you need to start living big. If you got it, you got to start doing big. If you got it, you got to start speaking big. If you got it, then do something with it. If you got it, then be somebody. Be somebody. Be God's trophy of goodness. Be God's trophy. Be God's trophy. Praise and worship. Y'all can come back. Be God. I got it. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is. That blessed me. I was like, that blessed me. That blessed me.